This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. You can't get just one. Okay, so that's not like some marketing hyperbole. You literally can't get just one. They come in twos. So like, if you want just one, you're going to need to find a friend who loves slow-roasted chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch sauce. Or a friend of a friend, or have an awkward conversation with a complete stranger to see if they're obsessed with chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch. Or you could just like eat them both because you're obsessed with slow-roasted chicken, bacon. Okay, you get the idea. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell U.S. locations for a limited time while supplies last.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Find yourself in the pages of Full Cry as we dive into the archives of America's leading tree dog publication. Join us as we look back at decades of stories, articles, and more written by those bold enough to follow the echoes of a hound.
The History of the Leopard Dog by Brex Bowers and Steve Quick from the December 2000 issue of Full Cry magazine. Where did the leopard dog come from? That is a question that we may never have a complete answer to. I will share with you a little of the knowledge that I have gained throughout my years of trying to learn as much as I can about these great dogs. It is certainly established that the precursors of the breed that we have today were in this country well before 1750. I use as a reference for this date the New Hunter's Encyclopedia, 3rd Revised Edition, copyright 1966, by the Stackpole Company. On page 823 of this book, in the section titled Plot Hound, we find a detailed history of the originals of the Plot Hound. Buried in this essay on plots is this tidbit of information. The fame of the Plot Pack spread, and word of the exceptional ability of these dogs reached the ears of a North Georgia bear hunter, whose own pack had an enviable local reputation. In fact, the Georgia man was firmly convinced that nowhere in the land were there superior hounds to his. His dogs were known as leopard dogs, originally and later as leopard-spotted bear dogs. authentic information concerning their origin is unavailable, but it is generally believed that they were brought over from Europe in the 1730s. It has been claimed by some that these dogs were from a strain used by English sportsmen in hunting leopards in foreign lands. They are also said to have been of the same strains from which the original plot hound stemmed. Some of the stud dogs have been shipped to Germany from England to bolster up the boar hunting packs of that country. The Plot Pack passed into the management of Henry Plot in 1780. The fame of these dogs continued to spread, and the curiosity of the Georgia hunter, whose name seems to have been lost, could no longer be denied. He simply had to find out if there were any better bear dogs anywhere than his own. So, with some of the best leopard dogs, he started the long trek through the mountains to North Carolina, finally locating the home of Henry Plot. The two hunters apparently had much in common and a staunch friendship developed. They hunted their packs separately and collectively, comparing notes and carefully checking performances. The plot hounds evidently made quite an impression on the Georgia sportsman, for upon his return to his native state, he took with him one of Henry's stud dogs to cross on some of his leopard bitches. The dog was only on loan from Plot. A year later, he was returned by the Georgian, who presented Plot with a male puppy, sired by the Plot dog and out of one of the leopard bitches, which had been selected by both men on the occasion of the Georgian's first visit. The male puppy turned out to be an outstanding individual. So great were his good qualities that Henry Plot added him to his carefully selected pack and bred him to several of his bitches. This single cross is the only known instance of introduction of new blood into the plot hound since the original dogs were brought to this country in 1750. The essay goes on to describe the dogs and their abilities in hunting the bear and wild boar of the Smoky Mountains. These dogs were highly prized for their grit, or ability to stay with this very tough type of game animal, abilities which are still valued to this day in both the plot hound and the leopard dog. Now, I refer to the March 1997 issue of Full Cry. In his regular column called Leopard Dogs of the Blue Ridge, Rex Bowers of Moxville, North Carolina, has this to say about the origins of the leopard dog. When referring to our early settlers, the names Pennsylvania Dutch and the Dutchman are often used. In this situation, the word Dutch is erroneous for Deutsch, meaning German. Many early pioneers in the Carolina upcountry came from Palatinate, Saxony, and Bohemia, and other sections of Old Germany. What does this have to do with the hunting or leopard curs? A lot. As hunting was a way of life for many in the New World, and the Dutch connection is of significant importance. John Lawson, in his History of North Carolina, based on his expeditions of North Carolina in the early 1700s, often discusses hunting. The bears here are very common. In addition to using for food, bear hunting is a great sport. A dog fit for this? The cur. Run him by nose until they come up with him, and then bark and snap at him till he trees, when the huntsman shoots him out. Lawson also describes hunting panthers in the same manner. Many references are made to trading furs with the native Indians while on his journey, which took him across the Yadkin River near Salisbury. The bear and deer meat was often eaten, as stated in the Moravian records, and the furs could be sold or made into clothing. Now we know how important hunting and the hunting dog curs were. We will take a look at where the first settlers came from. Most people could assume the English colonized the Blue Ridge area since they settled the coastal plains. However, very few English migrated westward prior to the Revolutionary War. Geographical difficulties prohibited much movement to the west by the land, and the rivers were not navigable, as first believed. Practically all migration came down from ports in Pennsylvania, through Virginia into western North Carolina. The forks of the Yadkin near present Salisbury were the gateway to the Blue Ridge Mountains. Settlers began migrating west of the Yadkin around 1746. two main trails intersected in this area, now Davie County. The Great Trading Path came down through central Virginia to the trading forts at Salisbury, and of more significance was the Great Wagon Road, also called the Georgia Road, that came down through the Shenandoah Valley to Wachovia, a German settlement. Then crossed the Yadkin at Shallowford at Huntsville, then through Moxville to intersect in Salisbury with the Great Trading Path. This trail eventually went to Georgia, thus the name. Everything coming to the Blue Ridge, from a cur dog to a church steeple, had to come this route, as there was no other. The Germans coming down from Pennsylvania made up 2/3 of the population. The Scotch-Irish made up most of the remainder, with a few British. The Germans were noted for their devotion to personal freedom of religion, as this was the main reason they had fled war-torn Germany. They also had a stubborn reluctance to give up their native language and ways of life. Most lived in organized communities, all working for the good of the community. Worship services were very important and spoke in the German language until the mid-1800s. They began converting to the English language first by changing names. Some were changed to the way they sounded, such as Boer to Bauer, while other names were translated to their meaning as Schneider to Taylor. The first mass migration, also the largest to come to Davie County, was the Heidelberg settlement on Dutchman Creek in 1760. They were from Heidelberg, Germany, and were Lutherans. Many families in our community can trace their ancestors back to this settlement. It was the same time that the Moravians purchased Wachovia, a 98,000-acre land tract, now Winston-Salem, and built three main settlements, Bethania, Bethabara, and Salem. The Moravians, like the Lutherans at the Heidelberg settlement, were Protestants and fled Germany to avoid persecution from the Catholic rule. The Blue Ridge Mountains reminded those Dutchmen of their homeland, so they settled in many locations in the mountains, from Pennsylvania down to northern Georgia, along the Great Wagon Road. It is well known that the Moravians kept a daily diary in which much history is contained. They were not only settlers, but missionaries and historians. Their daily records repeatedly tell of hunting bears, deers, and wolves. The bear meat was eaten regularly. Also, they noted it would be necessary to exterminate the bears, wolves, panthers, and wildcats if livestock were to be raised. As we have found in our history, the fur trade was a major source of income. In addition, bounties were paid for scalps of large animals. Also, the meat of many animals was eaten regularly, so hunting was indeed a way of life for many settlers. Squire Boone and son Daniel made a living while living in the forks of the Yadkin hunting. Court records of Rowan County show records of many hunters collecting these bounties for panthers and wolves. Also moving to this area at this time was Henry Plott, son of Johannes Plott, who came from Germany. The Plott family has kept the best records of their cur dogs to be found, although many others brought curs with them and used them for the same purposes. From studying the lifestyle of these German settlers, we know they all cooperated and worked together. Therefore, we can assume the same was done with breeding cur dogs. The Germans were expert dog breeders, and the use of hunting dogs in early Germany is well recorded. It is also worth mentioning the Scotch-Irish, who were also settling here for the same reasons, brought hunting dogs to America. We know from history also, these Scotch, in time, intermarried with the Germans, and so we can assume they crossed their dogs as well. There are a couple of breeds that were popular in Germany in the 1600s, used for hunting bear, boar, and wolves, that are very similar to today's cur. The Irish also had a breed almost identical to some leopard curs. A well-known fox and wolfhound breed can directly trace their breed to the leopard-colored speed demons from Ireland. Is it not logical that these dogs that the early settlers of the Blue Ridge used 200 years ago are the ancestors of the different cur breeds today? I hope you have enjoyed this cur history. The above information came from History of Davie County by James Wald, The Rowan Story by Brawley, The Moravian Records Bushwhacker by Trotter, and The Red Ranger. Thanks for reading. In the essay about plot hounds and then the article from Full Cry, you begin to see the spread of the leopard dog in pre-revolution America. the various links between the two stories, widely separated in time, become apparent. The English leopard hunting dogs can be construed to be the Irish strain that is almost identical to some leopard furs. That is, of course, an assumption on my part, albeit a logical one. It is also logical to assume that our Georgia bear hunter, or his ancestors, originally made his way there along the Great Wagon Road, as described by Rex Bowers in his Full Cry column. It must also be observed that an initial migration to the continent took place by some Irish immigrants before the final migration to the New World. These people would have taken their dogs with them during the interim stage. They would likely have acquired new dogs during this period as well. We are unable to know the exact details of what took place, but we do know the facts about the immigration of the New World from this area and can make some general assumptions about what these people might have done.
Like what you heard? Leave us a review and make sure to tag at Full Cry Mag when sharing your own adventures. You can check out more vintage content and get your subscription to the all-new Full Cry magazine at www.fullcrymag.com. From the pages of Full Cry is a Full Cry production. We want to thank our sponsors and encourage everyone to support those who support our lifestyle. This episode would not be possible without the support of Next Level Super Premium Dog Food and W Hunting Supply. Until next time, keep those dogs in the woods and find yourself in the pages of Full Cry.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.